All right, I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Glad to be here with you all again today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you again and we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, Lord, for all the things that you do for us, Lord. Thank you for the brethren, Lord. Thank you for all the gifts you've given, Father, Lord, to help us through this world. Again, Lord, we just ask your blessing, Father, upon this time together. Be with those around the world, Father, that are by themselves, Father, seeking you, Lord. We just ask you to encourage them, Lord. Again, we ask that you would fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom, Father, as we open your word. Again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I want to open our Bibles to Romans chapter 16. We'll begin in verse 1 reading. Appreciated the devotion Brother Floyd gave to be encouraged. There's a song that I've always appreciated. It's the God on the mountain is the God in the valley. And it says, the God of the good times is the God of the bad times. And when things go wrong, he'll make it right. Just always appreciated that thought of, you know, we think of being on a mountain that Brother Floyd brought out. But God's the same whether we're on the mountain or whether we're on the valley. And if we'll keep our hearts and minds focused on the God of the mountain and the God of the valley instead of having our focus on the mountain or the valley, then everything will be a lot smoother. And we don't have to ride on those fluctuations of our emotions and our feelings. But remember, the God of the mountain is the God in the valley. So he's over all things. We lose focus of that when we lose focus of him. And that's really goes well with life and whatever we're doing in life, that God is still in control and in charge of all things. The God on the mountain is still the God in the valley. Just remember that. Romans chapter 16, verse 1. What I want to do this morning is just kind of want to read through a few verses here in these chapters. And what I want to really try to bring out is want to try to be an encouragement to the people that are maybe by themselves this morning, maybe just their family. Oftentimes it's easy to get discouraged like that, and I just want to kind of bring out some things as a way of encouragement to them. That's why this goes real well. You know, the God that's here among a big body of brethren and sisters is the same God that is right there if you're all by yourself somewhere. And even if you're only with your family somewhere and you don't have a lot of encouragement, a lot of brethren around, he's the same God is over all. And so just to find a little comfort in that. Verse 1 says, I commend you to our sister Phoebe, who was a servant of the church which is at Cenchreae, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever matter she may have need of you. For she herself has been a helper of many, and of myself as well. Here, the Lord is encouraging Sister Phoebe, or encouraging the brethren to receive Sister Phoebe. You know, it doesn't mention about a brother being here. She may very well just been one individual all by herself. You know, she helped the brethren that came through. Then it says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. And these were probably a couple of missionaries that traveled with him a lot. But you don't see the big church that we think about when we're reading through this. You know, a lot of times we think of a building or a body of believers, you know, the big strong body of believers. But as we read through this, that's not what we really see here. We just see some individuals. And Paul's calling them out and encouraging them. It seems, then it says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ, who for my life risk their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles. Also greet the churches in their house. And that's, there again, it's not, didn't sound like a big group of people, but it's the church that's in their house. And sometimes that's the way things begin. You know, just remembering here whenever we started, you know, the first few times that we met together, it was just me and Kevin, Liz, and Robert Dobson. We just kind of met with our families for a little bit. And then we started meeting in the church, and Chris and Kim, their family started coming. Whenever we started meeting in the church, but we met in the tire shop, you know, the Friendly Tire shop. I was working there, and we used the little office area there to begin meeting as a church there for a while, just a little bunch. It was just a real blessing, but we had fellowship together, and that's all that really mattered. And we were content to be that way. You know, of course we wanted to grow, but whenever we first began, we didn't know what to do. So we just kind of took it one step at a time, but we knew we wanted to follow the Lord. We knew we wanted to do His will. So when we began, I'm speaking here to people, whoever, all around the world, and to you all even, that it's not always just the big, strong-looking church that's the way it is. A lot of times it's just individuals here or there that are just trying to follow the Lord. And one thing I always tell people whenever we've been asked all over the world to come, and they ask us, they say, come and start a church here. And my answer to them is, you be a church. We'll help you. We'll encourage you. We'll give you some advice or whatever you need. But the only way that there's going to be a church where you're at is if you be the church where you're at. And that's the only way it'll ever work. I mean, we can plant little franchises all over the country, but it won't be a real church. We can plant these little franchises, denominations or whatever, all over the world. And it's only as big as the building, or only as big as the group. But if, as an individual, you be what God wants you to be, wherever you are, you can have a church there. You'll be a church there. And then you can find others that are willing to do the same thing. And then you have something to build on, instead of just a frame of a church or denomination, like everybody seems to be looking for. But the answer to anyone, even, it doesn't matter where we're at, is you be what you're supposed to be. I've talked to several people this week that sometimes get discouraged, or sometimes they're all by themselves, and this is what I tell them to do. You know, if maybe in the group that you're in, things aren't going right. Maybe the place you're meeting, the brethren you're meeting with, there's just problems and things going on. And my answer is, quit worrying about the problems and you be what you need to be. You can be a disciple all by yourself. That doesn't mean that that's what you want, and that shouldn't be your goal. But if you're not a disciple all by yourself, it doesn't matter what group you're in. You still won't be a disciple. If you're not a disciple that's following the Lord and loves the Lord and wants to be like Jesus, it doesn't matter if you're in a group with 1,000 people in it. You're still not a church. Because the church is made up of people who are trying to be like Christ. And they love to be with other people who are trying to be like Christ. And it doesn't matter where you're at. You can do that. You can practice that. You know, I just tell people that if you're in a body of believers and you can carry out what you're supposed to, or if you're in a group of people, you can carry out and you can live out the gospel. And you can live that out. You live it out wherever you are. If the sad thing is a lot of the places that try to maintain the teachings of Jesus or some historical representation of the church, a lot of times if you're living there and you have a different conviction or you have a different way of carrying out, they won't let you. You know, I told a brother a few years ago that he asked what he was supposed to do because he wanted to wear a beard, and the church that he wasn't wouldn't let him. And his wife wanted to wear a covering that actually covered instead of just a see-through net. And I just told him, I said, you follow the Lord. And you do what you're supposed to do. You do what you know is right. And let them decide what they're going to do with you. And that's just, if we will do what we're supposed to do, sometimes it will cost us with the fellowship that we're in. You know, several years ago, when we were with the Mennonites, they started putting rules on things, on evangelism and things, and we just couldn't go along with them. And so we had to make a choice. We tried hard to work with them. But it came to the place where, in order just to not go against our conscience, that we just had to do what we thought we needed to do. And we were excommunicated. And, you know, that's just not the way it ought to be in the church. But we were excommunicated. Several of the brethren in the church didn't agree with it. And they were really big into church history. And after I was excommunicated, one of the brothers came up to me one day and just said, you know, I'm supporting you, I'm all behind you, and just encouraging me just to be strong, because this is what happened, you know, throughout history, that someone that would stand, there was a price. And we talked for a while, and I said, you know, these very brethren that we were excommunicated from 400 years ago, if you were excommunicated, you'd be talking, if this was 400 years ago, you'd be talking to a pile of ashes, because that's what happened 400 years ago. Whenever someone disagreed with the church, they were excommunicated and they were burned at the stake. It's just something that has happened throughout history. And that's what it meant then. That was the price then. And the thing about it is when you excommunicate somebody now, that's basically what you're saying or doing. Just because it doesn't have the teeth that it did back then, or just because they didn't have the government supporting what they were doing, it's still a serious, serious thing. So it's just sometimes we just can't carry out what we're supposed to do. We're not allowed with the brethren. But if there's a chance and you can be where you're at and be faithful, be faithful. The thing that I'm trying to get across is you can be a disciple wherever you are. It might be difficult, might be hard, but it's those hard things that'll make you strong. That's got young men that you talk to sometimes, they want to be missionaries. And I remember knocking on doors a few years ago, and I woke a young man up in the middle of an afternoon one time. He was taking a nap, laying there watching TV, taking a nap. And just talked to him about the Lord, and he said, "Oh, I'm preparing to be a missionary." And I just thought, "Well, are you doing anything here?" And, no, I've got to go to school and got to do all this to learn to be a missionary. And I just, you know, if we're not what we are, where we are, we aren't going to be anything anywhere else. You know, I think it was Leonard Ravenhill that said that when, you know, most people, they think they're going to be a Christian, and they claim they're going to be a Christian, and they claim they're going to go to heaven, but they don't follow the Lord, they don't have hardly anything to do with it. And he just posed the question to them, you know, after you die, what's going to change you? What's going to make you a Christian after you die? And then he just said, the worms. I mean, if we're not what we are now, we're not going to be anything different later. And I think it was Tozer that said that he was talking to people that wanted to be missionaries. And it's the same thought with this other man that, you know, if you put a donkey on an airplane and you ship the donkey to China, a donkey is still going to get off of that airplane. The ride isn't going to change you. The location isn't going to change you. If you're a missionary, if you're wanting to be a missionary, you're wanting to be to spread the gospel, spread it right where you are. And someone will say, "Hey, that guy's doing something." And then you can send them to be a missionary somewhere else. But if you're not one where you are, you won't be one when you get where you're going. And that's the same principle, that same idea of being a disciple, which they both go hand in hand, but being a disciple right where you are. Some people want to be a preacher, want to be a leader. Well, you have the opportunity, every one of us, to be a leader right where you are. I mean, if you've got a wife, you can be a leader in your own home. If you're on the job, you can be a leader. Jump out and just do Jesus said the first to be last and the last to be first. If you're, you know, Jesus said he didn't come to be ministered to, he came to be a minister. You just jump right in and do the lowest job that you can. And then you'll be able to graduate on up to something else. That's how you be a leader. You just lead out in doing the things that nobody else wants to do. And you can train yourself to be a leader that way. So many people just want to have the title instead of just being the leader. Anyway, the point is, be a disciple. Be a follower of Jesus, whether you're by yourself or in a crowd. Wherever you are, you can still be that kind of disciple. And in verse 6 it says, greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are outstanding among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Here's men nobody ever even talks about or heard of. They were in prison with Paul. And they were even apostles before he was. There's all kinds of people all around the world that aren't getting much recognition, don't want any, but they can still be disciples. Greet Amphilius, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ. And Stasius, my brother, beloved. Greet Apelles, the approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. They're the brethren that are in his household. You see the pattern here? It's not talking about some big, huge, citywide church. It's just the people that were in their house. And Paul is acknowledging them as being blessed in the Lord. Greet Herodian, my kinsman. Greet those of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Another of his household, maybe just one family, meeting in his. But they are the church. They are the church. You know, the church is not just one little group in one little town. The church is the brethren all around the world. And sometimes there's just a few by themselves. Greet Tryphenia and Tryphosia, workers in the Lord. Greet Paris, the beloved, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, a choice man in the Lord, also his mother and mine. Here's someone that Paul's worked with he was evidently there wasn't much more than this man and his mother. But Paul said, greet them, a choice man in the Lord. Greet Sisyphus, Plegrim, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brethren with them. There's a small group of brethren. Greet Philologus and Julianaris and his sister and Olympus and all the saints who are with them. And then it says, greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. The picture here is the churches. The church. It's not just one little group of people here and one little group of people there that all come to the same building. They all have the same ideas. There just might be a house that they are just a family here and there, might be an individual here and there. It's a lot bigger than what we think. It's not just to fit in our little box. You can be what you need to be in whatever situation and wherever you're at. You can be Christ-like. You know, we have this thought, we've heard someone being godly, someone being a man of God. You know, a lot of times we think of someone, you know, up on a mountain calling down fire or doing miracles or something, but I've thought about someone that's just a man of God, has the character of God, and I think of mercy, compassion, you know, forgiveness. Those real characteristics of God that make him who he really is. And we can be that wherever we are at. It doesn't matter. follow Jesus wherever you are. You don't have to have a group. A lot of times a big group just becomes a crutch. And we forget that it's not just the big group that makes the church, but it's the individual person that's following the Lord. That's where the strength is. Not in the multitude of people, but the strength is in each individual following the Lord. And that's what makes up the true church. Is when each individual is being like Christ in his little corner of the world, wherever that may be. Anyway, may the Lord add his blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? God bless you all. We'll meet back at 6 o'clock this evening. Depart in peace.